Okay, moving right along in Parshas Emor. So we kind of finished talking about the Kohanim. And we talked about Kohanim who have defects. And this is a touchy subject for a lot of people. And we don't have time to deal with it appropriately right now. But the matrix is that when we bring a Korban, those who bring a Korban as well as the Korban, everything has to be perfect. Because everything is perfect for Hashem. And today's focus is on the Kohanim, on the offerings themselves. So we're going to pick it up with the third reading, chapter 22, verse 17. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe lemer. God speaks to Moshe saying, verse 18, Daber al Aaron ve'al banav. Speak to Aaron and his sons, ve'al kol bnei Yisrael, and for that matter, to all of the Jewish people. Ve'amarta lehem, and you'll say to them, Ish ish mi beis Yisrael. When we have the word ish ish, it kind of means each individual, literally a man, or a person, from the house of Israel. Umin hager b'Yisrael. And the same applies also to somebody who is not an organic or natural Jew, but a naturalized Jew, somebody who joins the Jewish people, what we call a convert. Asher yakriv korbanoi, who will bring his offering before Hashem, l'chol nidreim, u'l'chol nidvaisam, to all of their vows and all of their donations. Asher yakrivu l'Hashem l'oilo, which they will bring before Almighty God. The word Yakrivu comes from the word lekarev, to bring close. And they will bring it as an oila, as an ascent offering. So this is kind of like an opening verse that is going to be followed with instructions about what kind of korban can a person bring. But before we go on to verse 19, which is in positive terms, what kind of animal could be used as an offering, let's first try to understand the details in this verse. So we have an instruction that was supposed to go to Aaron and his children and to all of the Jewish people. And the instruction is that it applies to individual Jews as well as to converts. L'chol nidreihem or l'chol nidvaisam. To all of their vows. Nidreihem comes from the word neder. Or l'chol nidvaisam, to all their donations. Like from the word nedava. The question obviously is, what difference is there between a neder and a nedava? Why does the Torah use unique words to describe one and the other? In both cases, that's an offering. Somebody's bringing an offering to Hashem. Why use a different terminology? So Rashi says that the truth is that the two different terms, neder and nedava, refer to different syntax or different expression vis-a-vis a offering that's brought. And Rashi explains, Hare olai. If a person makes the commitment, I'm obligated, I must. So if a person says, I must, and he says, I'm going to bring an offering, and then after saying he's going to bring an offering, he goes ahead and he separates this animal, I must bring an offering, here's the animal I'm going to bring. So if he does that, then that would be what we would call a neder, a vow that he made. He said, I'm going to bring an offering. Nidvaisam is harei zu. A nedava is when the language is not about what I will do, but rather what this will be. So the person has animals. He says, this animal will be an offering. It's not about what I will do, it's what this animal will be. We could use the terms the subject or the object. In the parlance of Jewish jurisprudence, the idea of gavra and chefza, is it the person? Is it what the person obligates himself to do? Or is it the object which has become consecrated and dedicated? So whether this is something that you have personally obligated yourself in saying neder, I will, I vow, I'm going to, or whether you have selected a particular animal and said this animal will be, in either of the cases, the same will apply. Somebody might think that if you chose an animal, you chose the animal. It's not no longer my responsibility. Well, it's my responsibility. Obviously, I have to give the finest and the best. But here it's not, I didn't say I will. I said this will be. So if this will be, I mean, in whatever state it is, it doesn't have to be the best or the finest. If I said this will be, then this will be. No, says the Torah. In both of these cases, we have a situation where tamus and Zachros is required, where it has to be intact and perfect, and there's also going to be a need, there's going to be a requirement for us to be able to do this in a manner we're going to see that for these korbanos, for these offerings, it has to be specifically of the male species. So let's take a look for a moment about the Ran. in Maseches Nedarim with the very famous commentary of the Ran over there, which talks really about vows. The Ran says there's another possible distinction between a neder and a nedava. He says a neder is something that doesn't come with a full spirit of generosity. Okay, I'll do it. I'm not so excited about giving this away. Whereas a nedava is what a person gives with an open heart, with a full generous spirit. This is no longer mine. This is yours. It's like it's the two ways of giving a gift. He says, I'll do it, I'll take care of it, or this is no longer something that's mine. This is now yours. And that would be the difference, a possible difference, a nuanced difference further to what Rashi said, this idea that the Ran suggests. And if you follow the Ran's approach, then again, the difference between one and the other is a person might say, well, if I didn't really do this full-heartedly or generously, it's got to be decent. It's got to be grade A. But if I'm doing this wholeheartedly, really, what difference does it make? So what if it's not the best? Maybe it's the best I have. I'm doing it with generosity. I'm not trying to withhold in any way, shape, or form. Why should Zachros and Tamos be so important? Why should it have to be intact and perfect? Nonetheless, the Torah says in both of those instances, verse 19, L'ritzeinchem tomim, in order for it to be sort of something that is that Hashem wants and wills, something that brings about divine grace, it has to be tamim, the animal has to be whole, intact, perfect. It has to be a zachar. For these particular offerings of oila, a scent offerings, we use male animals. For some of the shlamim, we use female animals. But here it's a male animal. Babakar, baksavim, uva'izim. This applies to cattle, this applies to sheep, as well as to goats. So Rashi, in his commentary, says, what is the meaning of l'ritzeinchem? L'ritzeinchem sounds like your will. Would you say in English? Whatever you want. That's not what it means. This Judaism is not whatever you want. A lot of people think religion is whatever I want. Whatever I want, God must want. Says who? Well, because I want it. No, l'ritzeinchem doesn't mean what you want. L'ritzeinchem, Rashi says, means haviu davar haroi l'ratzeis eschem. Bring something which is appropriate, suitable, to make you desirable, that Hashem should want you. That's the meaning of l'ritzeinchem. L'ritzeinchem is not what you want, but rather that you should be wanted. Big difference. Big difference in what I want and that I should be wanted. So if you want to be wanted before Hashem, sheyehei l'ratzon, that what you're bringing should be desirable, so then it has to be done in this manner. In other words, as the pasuk goes on to now to explain, Rashi says, ve'ezehu haroi l'ratzon, what does God want? What will make you desirable or wanted? And he goes on and says, tamim zachar ba'bakar baksavim ove'izim. Now Rashi notes, we talked about tamim, a perfect animal. We talked about zachar, a male animal, and we specified the three kinds of animals: babakar with cattle, baksavim with sheep, uveizim with goats. But there's also another kind of offering that's brought from animal life. What kind of offering is that? Birds. The turtle dove and the pigeon. So Rashi says, Aval ba'ilas ha'oif, but the bird which is brought as an ascent offering, Ein sarich tamos v'zachros. Then these halacha, the halacha of intact or a perfect animal, a perfect specimen, and a male animal is not necessary. The ein nifsel, it is not disqualified with what's called a mum, with what's called a minor blemish, ela b'chasar n'aver. Obviously, if the animal is missing a limb, that's another story. But if it's just a minor blemish on a bird, that's not an issue. But the minor blemish on an animal is an issue. This is the halacha. The Torah goes on now to speak about the details of what kind of animal would be desirable. Before we go on before we skip forward, I just want to tell you that Psaji Gaon says that you said it's what you want, but really it's haritzui mikemhu, what is wanted of you. That's what means l'ritzeinchem. Psaji understands it as what Hashem wants of you. Here's what he wants of you, not what you want, but actually what he wants. Whereas Rashi understands that the wanting is that you should be wanted and you should be desirable before Hashem.
Rashi says that it's a payment.
Rashi says it's a payment. Where did you see that Rashi says it's a payment?
In the Yutes.
Rashi Yutes.
The payment in Old French.
It's the Old French. Yes, of course, you're a Frenchman. I'm sorry for skipping that word.
No, something that we paying something to Hashem.
Okay, so there may be a difference between the French that you speak and the French that Rashi spoke. Much like the difference between the Ivrit and the Hebrew of the Torah, which a lot of times means slightly nuanced different things. So clearly from Rashi, it's not a payment as in a bill, but rather it's what can I pay to make you interested in this? Like, what's it going to cost me? You know, okay, I'd like you to do such and such. I'm not really interested. Yeah, okay. So what's going to cost to get you interested? In other words, here's what's required from us so that we will be desirable. That's how it will be understood. And the word may be payment, literally, but I think in Rashi's French it meant something a little different than, in all likelihood. I mean, because the whole idea is l'ritzonchem. Reb Sadia says that which is wanted of you, which is what Hashem wants, whereas Rashi says in pshuto shel mikra l'ritzonchem means no, it's your being wanted. The Sif Sikoyanim says that the Ratzon Shalachem is all in machshava. It's all in it's like your intentions. It's a lot to do with intentions. And if somebody brings something perfect, or like the best possible, then that's indicative of the intentions. Then the intentions were desirable. People say, as long as the intentions are there. How do you know if the intentions are there? If somebody brings something broken, the intentions are not there. So the intentions are, you have to do the very best that's available to you, and that shows that the intentions are appropriate. Now, we're going to skip, because the Torah test is going into details of what's called a blemished animal. Verse 19 is its general statement. It has to be good. It has to be perfect. I'm not going to say leave it to your own imagination, because it's nothing to do with your or my imagination. It's to do with what the Torah says. But without going through the details of animals who are broken, scratched, hurt, crushed, we're going to go to verse 25 now. So here comes the question. We talked about the importance of a korban being perfect. Who are we talking about so far? When we talk about the importance of us bringing this offering, who is the us here?
Bnei Yisrael.
Bnei Yisrael, the Jewish people. Now here's the question. Can the Gentile bring an offering? Do you have to be Jewish to bring an offering? Not a Gentile, we can bring an offering as well. Do the same halachas apply to a non-Jew? Because a non-Jew is bound by certain halachas. The non-Jew, it can eat chametz on Pesach. The Jew can't eat chametz on Pesach. The Jew cannot work on Shabbos. The non-Jew can work on Shabbos. The Jew is not allowed to eat milk and meat. The non-Jew can eat milk and meat. So this is like halachas. Since when do the halachas apply to a non-Jew? Or is it not about the personal requirement of the non-Jew? Is it more the requirement of the offering itself? This is the kind of question which could easily come. So after talking about the details of what means whole, what means broken, the Torah returns to the subject of bringing the korban. Verse 25, Umiyad ben Nechar, from the hand of one who is not Jewish, Loi sakrivu es lechem eleheichem, you shall not bring the bread of your God, Mikalela, from all of the above. All of the above is mentioned, the various kinds of animals which would be considered defective from a Torah perspective. Ki mashchasam bahem mum loy yiratzu lachem. What does all this mean? Let's take a look in Rashi now, in verse 25. Umiyad ben Nechar, from the hand of a non-Jew. Says Rashi, Goy Shehevi Korban, a member of the family of nations, who has brought an offering and gives it over, Biyad Kohen, gives it to the hand of the Kohen, Lahakrivoi, Lashamayim, so that it be brought before Hashem for the sake of heaven. Because if somebody comes and brings a Korban for the sake of some other deity, that's a problem. That's not acceptable. But here you have a righteous Gentile who says, I want to worship the same one God you're worshiping. And he gives it over to the Kohen and says to the Kohen, please bring this animal as an offering before Hashem Lashamayim. So a person who does that, Loi takrivu loi balmum, do not bring this animal offering if it is blemished. You'll ask the question, V'afal pi shloi nesru ba'alei mumin l'korban b'nei noyach. Even though, if a non-Jew wants to bring an offering, not on the Beis HaMikdash, a non-Jew wants to bring an animal offering, in today's day and age, even, there's no prohibition of bringing an imperfect animal. That's a requirement that Hashem has of the Jewish people. Which means in theory, this is like come as a shock to you, the Rambam says very clearly, in theory, a Gentile can bring a korban today. And says we're not allowed to actually help the Gentile, but if he comes and says, teach me halachas, I want to know how to do this, we're allowed to tell him what the halachas are. And a Gentile can bring a korban today. Only for Jewish people is there this unique connection to the city of Jerusalem and the Temple Mount and the Harabayis and the Mizbeach. That's a Jewish thing. Jerusalem is uniquely Jewish. No other member of the nations, a family of nations, no other human being who wants to bring a korban has to bring it in Yerushalayim. And guess what? If they choose to bring a korban, an animal offering, by virtue and dint of the Torah's ordination, they can bring it anywhere they want. So you would say, when it comes to the requirement of the Gentile themselves, there is no issue of Tamas and Zachrus. Does that mean that they can bring a korban in Yerushalayim of an animal that's blemished because they themselves can bring a korban from an animal that's blemished? It's a fair question. So Rashi says, therefore the Torah says, no. But even though for outside of the Beis HaMikdash, the only kind of animal that's disqualified, it's like the bird. Elim kein mechusar eved, unless it's actually missing a limb. But the Rashi says, zois noyheges babome shebesodeis. This applies to a bome. A bome is a personal altar out in the field. Out in the field is euphemism. Out in the field. It's not the Beis HaMikdash is the home, and the rest of the world is out in the field. It's Hashem's home, and it's the field. In the field, you can bring whatever you want, as long as it's not missing a limb. Aval ala mizbeach shebe mishkan, but on the mizbeach of the mishkan where Hashem's shechina is, loy takrivu, you cannot bring such an animal. Aval tamima tekablu mehem, but if they give an animal which is intact, then you may accept that. Lakach nemer lemaila, therefore it says earlier, ish ish. Who is ish ish? I mentioned at the outset of today's class that ish, ish, a man, a person, sounds like every individual. Rashi says you should know that it includes every kind of individual, Jew or Gentile. The halachas that apply here apply to Jews and non-Jews equally. The korbanos that are brought in the Beis HaMikdash must always be perfect and intact, regardless of who's bringing the korban. Shenoidrim, nedorim, nedoviski Yisrael, they may bring offerings, dedicate offerings, just the same way Jewish people may bring offerings. Both are permissible. Now Rashi says, what is the meaning of mashchasam? And he says it, he renders it as unglis, when unglis says it.
Why is there the reference to a lechem?
Why is there reference to lechem? So we have had many Rashis about this during the course of Rashi's commentary already. In fact, we had one a little while ago in our Chumash, where Rashi says that bread is a euphemism for any kind of meal. Any kind of eating is called bread. And even in English, this carries over. For example, we have the euphemism, let's break bread. That's the way people speak. And we find this as early as Avraham Avinu's hospitality.
There was some over reference with the wife of Potiphar.
That's something else. Lechem HaShoechel becomes a euphemism, where you talk about the bread he was eating, but it wasn't his bread at all.
Right.
But when we talk about bread, the rule is that the bread is a euphemism for food itself, even if you're on a no-carbs diet. So Rashi says that the word mashchasam behem means there is a wound in them. Chibul lahayin behayin. There is a wound in them. So if it has a wound, how could you bring it as a korban before Hashem? It's blemished. It's damaged. Lo yiratzu. It will not be desirable. What do you mean it won't be desirable? Was Hashem going to throw it back? So Rashi says that, well, don't expect miracles like that to happen, but lechaper aleichem. It will not serve to atone for you. So a korban serves to atone for you. It repairs our relationship with Hashem. When things have become strained, this kind of korban will not do the job. It will not repair your relationship. It will not give you the spiritual rehabilitation that you seek. Now, Rashi is pretty clear about the notion of of a non-Jew bringing the korban, saying it's not about the responsibility of the non-Jew in general, because a Gentile can bring a korban outside of Yerushalayim. It doesn't have this requirement of tamos, of perfection. But this is all about Yerushalayim. It's all about the city of Jerusalem. That's where the concept of tamos, of perfection, is required, whether the korban comes from a Jew or the korban comes from a non-Jew. The Sepharno says something interesting. He says, in ancient times, when animal offerings were in vogue, and that was the style, so in most non-Jewish circles, those who practiced animal offerings thought that an animal that was castrated was considered to be a higher form of an offering. That was something that their priests would do, which actually the Torah prohibits now that it castrate animals ever, just by the way. But that would be a higher form of an offering. So Sepharno says, you might think that it's all about the individual. They're bringing the best they know. They're bringing the best that's available to them. Rashi says, no, that's not correct. When it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, it's a Jewish thing, that's true. But the offerings can be accepted. However, the Beis HaMikdash offerings, they always have to be perfect offerings. The Ralbag points out that a Gentile can bring a korban oila, which is the highest form of an offering, an ascent offering, but he cannot bring a korban shlamim. Korban shlamim is when the owners eat part of it. That's already a different story. That's something that already goes into the mitzvah arena, and mitzvahs are unique to the Jewish people. It's like you can't put on tefillin or something like that. You're not going to be able to eat the korban either. So we're going to conclude today's lesson with a very interesting analysis from the Rebbe about the difference between bringing an offering in the Beis HaMikdash and building the Beis HaMikdash. Maybe it's very timely after that dog Erdogan made his latest anti-Semitic, racist, and hateful statements of inciting hatred against the Jewish people and violence. And he talked about storming Jerusalem, storming the Temple Mount. So very interestingly, the next day's Chumash talks about the unique connection of the Jewish people to Yerushalayim. Yes, Beisi Beis Tefila L'Chol Amim, my home is a home of prayer for all people, and all people can find fulfillment and closeness to God within the rubric of Judaism. That's true. However, when it comes to Yerushalayim, we speak about a uniquely Jewish situation, especially when it comes to building and developing the notion of Hashem's house, home, or presence. Page Shin. This is Dalet, the fourth entry in the Biurei HaChumash for Parshas Emor. So the Rebbe says, Yesh L'Tmoya. This is something that could give us pause and make us really wonder. The halacha is, as we just learned today, but sorry, you didn't just learn this, I mentioned it. Sha'asar l'shatev goyim bebinyan Beis HaMikdash. We're not allowed to include the Gentiles in building of the Beis HaMikdash. That's a uniquely Jewish thing. U'bilshein ha-Rambam, in the language of the Rambam, in Hilchas Arachin Uchramin, where the Rambam speaks there about the idea of giving to use in the Beis HaMikdash, the Rambam says, and this is a quote, Ein mekablim min ha'akum nedova oy neder. We cannot accept from a non-Jew a donation or a vow, l'chazek es bedek ha'boyis, to strengthen the home, the welfare of the structure of the home, oy bedek Yerushalayim, or, for that matter, the structure or welfare of the material reality of the city of Yerushalayim. We don't accept any mekablum, he says.
What does that mean exactly?
What does it mean?
Yeah, like, I mean,
it means, the assumption is, anybody's going to give us a check, we take the check and cash it, right? That's the assumption. When it comes to building Yerushalayim in the Beis HaMikdash, it's a Jewish thing. It's our job. We're supposed to do this. When it came to the Mishkan, who gave?
They were in the desert, obviously.
Oh, yeah. And what if there was somebody who would send a gift? There were the Jewish people had some kind of relationships with foreign nations. There was commerce going on between the nations. What if somebody would have come from one of the nations that I heard the Jewish people came out of Mitzrayim, they're building a Mishkan. I want to contribute also. Can we accept it? No?
No. In the desert, we didn't accept.
No. There wasn't non-Jewish people there anyway. But I'm saying even if somebody would have come forward, it wouldn't accept it. When it comes to building the Beis HaMikdash and the city of Yerushalayim, the Rambam says, Ein mekablin. We do not accept it. We can't accept that funding. Shenemar, Because it says, and the Rambam here is quoting a pasuk in Ezra. Ezra is not the Mishkan, it's not even the first Beis HaMikdash, it's the second Beis HaMikdash. And the Jewish people came back to rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash. And guess what? The Persian government wanted to help. They wanted to give funding, they wanted a part of this. Ahasuerus stopped the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and Darius II said, I want to help build the Beis HaMikdash. Besides the fact that he was actually Jewish. But the coffers were not his, it was the Persian coffers. And Ezra said, Loi lachem v'lanu livnes beis Hashem. Sorry, appreciate your efforts. This is not for you and for us. This is our personal responsibility. We have to do this. This is our job. Here's an interesting story. There was one occasion when the Rebbetzin fell ill. I think this was actually on Shabbos. And they needed emergency medical care. And there was a very wealthy chassid, his name was Zalman Gerari. And whenever there was, they needed cash, he would show up with cash. And he showed up with a lot of cash. It was like an emergency medical procedure and no problem. Showed up with cash. So afterwards, he was in the Rebbe's room. The Rebbe thanked him. And the Rebbe said, I have to repay you. I have to pay you. So he said, ha, I'm not taking money from the Rebbe. It's like, I took care of it. Don't worry about it. It's taken care of. So the Rebbe said, I have a ksuba. And in my ksuba, it says that I'm responsible for taking care of my wife. And therefore, I have to do what says in my ksuba. You have to take the money. And the Rebbe went on to say, I don't have an ordinary ksuba. My ksuba is written in the hand of my father-in-law, of the Friedrich Rebbe. Because the Rebbe's ksuba went missing in the middle of the chasna. So he says the wedding was an all-night celebration. And at dawn, before they left, they realized the ksuba is missing. Can't go without a ksuba. So the Friedrich Rebbe sat down and from memory rewrote a new ksuba. And the Rebbe said, my ksuba is in the hand of the Rebbe, of the Rebbe, my father-in-law. And therefore, he said, okay, this is my responsibility. I have to pay. This is like our marital responsibility. We're in a marriage with God. That's the whole Shir HaShirim is about. In a marriage with God, we have to pay. Certain expenses cannot be taken care of by somebody else.
I find that what,
you find that someone Jewish, huh?
Somebody's generosity is like, no.
Not for everything. Certain things, it's got to be you. Certain things you have to pay, that's right. Let's think about it this way. If you decide to buy your wife a special gift, but somebody else paid for it, how well would that go over?
Okay. It's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing? Well, maybe it is the same thing. No. Ask your wife. V'nemar, and it is written, this doesn't have to make sense to you. It actually does make sense to me, but it doesn't have to make sense to you with what the Torah says. V'nemar, it says in Nehemiah, V'lochem ein chelik v'tzdoka v'zichrim b'Yerushalayim. You do not have a portion, you do not have a righteousness or memory in Yerushalayim. So when it comes to building Yerushalayim, in response to all the lunacy that just now is making waves, the Torah reminds us, when it comes to Yerushalayim itself, it's ours. Yerushalayim is a uniquely Jewish jurisdiction. So much so, we can't even accept funding, friendly funding. Sorry, can't accept it. Madua Eifer, the Rebbe says, why is Ein Klal Zechal Gam B'Yachas L'Akrovas HaKorbanos Me'ad Goyim? Why can't they bring offerings? A korban's a big deal. Rosa de Korbano, Eilad, Rosa de Yosef, the mystery of a korban unlocks the mystery of our relationship with God. If we're locking non-Jews out of this, how come they can bring a korban? But Yerushalayim, you can't. It's like the korban, which is the most profound and intimate and personal of gifts any human being can bring. Comes to building Yerushalayim, he said, no, this is uniquely Jewish. You would think that if Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash is uniquely Jewish, how much more so the korban, the offering, should be uniquely Jewish. So the Rebbe explains that there's a cardinal distinction, a difference in the Beis HaMikdash and between the Mizbeach. And they're two different things. Because you may not know this, but according to the halacha, if we were to have a Mizbeach, if we knew where the Mizbeach was supposed to be, and we were to have a Mizbeach, which is impossible because in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, they needed no less than three prophets to come along. One to tell them where it is, one to tell them how to build it, one to tell them, yes, that this is good, you can use it. But if we were to have a Mizbeach, we would actually be able to bring offerings even without a Beis HaMikdash. Even without a Beis HaMikdash. Because the Mizbeach and the Beis HaMikdash are actually not one and the same. Beis HaMikdash, what's the Beis HaMikdash about? Interestingly, Rashi used the words of Mishkan. It's the idea of Shechina. Noyed l'shem hashras hashchina b'Yisrael b'vad. The purpose of a base hamigdash is that the shechina should be amongst us. As it says, v'asuli migdash, you should make for me a migdash. V'shachanti, the purpose, the Torah says, the ultimate goal of the migdash is v'shachanti. What does v'shachanti mean? I will dwell, my presence will be. B'seicham. That's something uniquely Jewish. That's Hashem says for us. We're in a marriage with God. It's Hashem says, you build it, I will come bring my shechina there. You cannot have Gentiles to be part of this. This is supposed to be our responsibility. As it says, this is not for us to share with you in building the home of our God. The Mizbeach, contrastingly, stood in a place which was designated by the Creator of heaven and earth as the exact site or spot of atonement, and Hakrovas Karbonas, the bringing of offerings, Mitchilas Habriya, from the beginning of creation, which is a long time before the first Jew shows up. Avraham Avinu is only born some 1,948 years into creation. That's when Avraham Avinu shows up. But for all that time, almost 2,000 years before, it was already a special place. Kedivrei Rambam, like the words of the same Rambam, this is in Hilchos Beis Abuchida in the second chapter. There's a tradition that Rambam says that's universal, a ubiquitous tradition. The place with David and Shlomo HaMelech. David planned, Shlomo HaMelech executed. And they built the Mizbeach. That's the same place where Noach built the Teva. Noach is not Jewish. And in fact, the name for non-Jews is Bnei Noach. That's the name that they hail from Noach. When he came off the ark, the floating barge that saved humanity and animals. It goes prior to Noach. This is the Mizbeach that Kayim Vehevel, the second generations of humans, brought a carbon there. Adam Harishain. It was at this exact site that the very first human being, Yitzir Kapish HaKadosh Baruch Hu, created by the hands of God, the very first human being, brought a carbon to Hashem, this exact site. Kisha Nivra, when he was born, was created. And furthermore, we say, Umisham Nivra. It was from that site that the clay that was used to create Noach, Adam, was taken from that site. Amru Chachamim, I say, just say, Adam. Adam refers to both the individual person called Adam, but really humanity. Mimikoyim Kaparasai Nivra was created from the soil or clay of the site of his or her atonement. Therefore, this is something which is applicable to everybody. Every human being is created in the image of God. Every human being is created with the possibility of nurturing, cultivating, and enjoying a relationship with God. That's the Mizbeach is all about. The Mizbeach is to be able to achieve spiritual rehabilitation, to be able to overcome the toxic past, and to walk into a new, glorious, beautiful future where we have an intimate and a close relationship with Hashem. But that Mizbeach was not meant only for Jewish people, all the way from Adam to Cain and Hevel, to Noach, everybody was bringing korbanos. And therefore, how could we stop? Anybody, a human being comes, created in the image of God, says, I want to bring an offering, I want to bring a korban. Of course you could. How could we stop Yetzich HaLatzeim, the grandchildren of Adam and Noach, from the schus, from the permission, and the privilege of lahakir of Allah of korbanos? So even though on the surface it seems like korbanos is much more profound than building a Beis HaMikdash. And so why would we lock the non-Jew out of building the Beis HaMikdash, but the korban we do make him a part of? Rebbe says that's because there's a clear distinction between Beis HaMikdash and between Mizbeach. Mizbeach and Kapara is a human thing. Beis HaMikdash or Shechina is a uniquely Jewish thing. And so all members of the human race can and should be engaged with having a relationship with Hashem and living a righteous and meaningful life. However, in case the world forgot, we're here to remind them today that when it comes to Jerusalem, and building homes in Jerusalem, and ultimately building a Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim and Mirtz Hashem through Mashiach, that is uniquely Jewish. And it is in our jurisdiction, and our jurisdiction alone. So the Rebbe to helfen, the Mashiach should come, and when he does, the whole world will know the truth and see the truth, and then the Beis HaMikdash will rise again, the Mehera will be Amenu Amen.